The scripture reading on this first day of the new year is Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is quoted a number of times in the New Testament in reference, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom this psalm is speaking. It's a psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way, therefore he will lift up his head. So far the reading of the Word of God, and the text for this morning is, your people will offer themselves freely or willingly on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. Before we open this beautiful passage, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our Lord Jesus is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and that he said, all authority is given unto me. What a wonderful truth that is, that Christ has dominion over land and sea. And so, Lord, as we look at this morning, this first day of the new year, what a wonderful thought it is that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of time, that you are the Lord of the whole earth, that you hold the whole world in your hand. O Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us. Grant us the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we think of the new year, it's a wonderful beginning. It's a beginning of a period of time that we have been given the privilege to use for his glory and for our benefit. Time. It's not easy to define what time is. Of course, it's the passing of moments. But you know, we cannot hold time like in our hands that it stays right there. Sometimes when we look at our children, as they are growing up, we sometimes like to say, wouldn't it be wonderful to just hold the time when they were little and everything was so innocent? We know it wasn't, but it sometimes gives you like to think of the time, if we could just hold that time. It was so wonderful, so pleasant, so joyful. And yet time goes on and we cannot hold it. We can't stop it. You really feel that in the middle of the night of December 31 and the beginning of the new year, January 1, it's relentless. Time is relentless. It keeps going. You cannot stop it. And we are in it. We're in time. We are creatures of time. But this psalm tells us that there's someone who is greater than time. And it's Jesus Christ, God, our Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are greater than time. They've created time. Time is in their hands. And we find great comfort in that. That the Lord controls time. He controls every minute. every hour, every second. And it's good to be reminded of that. That time is in God's hands. And that we are creatures of time. And so this morning we're going to look at this psalm, which is about Jesus. It's about Him. And Jesus used it too in His ministry, and He said, as they were arguing, the Jews, Pharisees were arguing about Him. How can He say He's God? And then He quotes from Psalm 110. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And then Jesus says, who's the psalmist talking about? Of course, he's talking about Jesus Himself. He is the Lord. And so when you look at this psalm and at the people who are under the control and under the rule of our God, the character of those people, and that it's us and all those who love the Lord, the character is that your people will offer themselves willingly on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. So we're going to look at that. Willing workers. First of all, their identity. Who are they? Secondly, their schedule. On the day of their the day of your power. Then their dress, their garments. They are dressed in holy garments, and the success. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. So let's look at this. Willing workers. This, first of all, their identity. Who are the willing workers of the Lord? Who are the willing ones? Well, the willing ones are the ones whose hearts have been changed by the Lord. You know, when you look at Adam and Eve after they fell into sin, where do you see them? They're hidden. They hide themselves in the trees of the garden. Why? Because they're afraid. They're not willing workers at all. They really are afraid of God. So they sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. They're afraid. That's not the kind of workers that the Lord wants in His kingdom. He doesn't want unwilling people. He doesn't want people who are begrudging their service to the Lord. No, He doesn't want that. He wants willing workers. My people shall be willing, will offer themselves freely. That's a marked difference. It's a great difference between someone who is serving the Lord because they have no choice, they just got to, or someone who is serving the Lord because they want to. Who do you rather have as the attitude of your children? Someone who says, do I really have to go to church today? Do I have to get up in the morning to go to church? You want one like that, or do you want a child getting up in the morning and say, today is the Lord's day and I can't wait to be in the house of God to sing His praises? Isn't that what you'd want? You want willing workers. We all want willing workers, and God does too. He wants us to be willing. He says, my people offer themselves freely. They are not offering themselves with a gun in their back, saying, you've got to do this or else. No, no, no. That's not the way the Lord wants His people to be. My people shall be willing. Willing. What does that take? Well, it takes an attitude of love, trust, obedience. You just want someone who wants to be in your house, who wants to be in your service, who loves the Lord, and who serves the Lord with gladness, who comes before His presence with thanksgiving. That's the kind of people you want. That's the kind of people God wants. That's what He's saying in this psalm. The Lord sends forth from Zion His mighty scepter. He rules in the midst of His enemies. There the enemies are on the one hand, on His left hand, so to speak. On His right hand, your people will offer themselves freely. Look at the difference between the enemies who are basically saying, we do not want this God to rule over us. We don't want this king to call the shots in my life. I want to do my thing. Or as Frank Sinatra is saying, I'm going to go my way. I will do it my way. That's the enemy. I'll do it my way. That's what Satan told Adam and Eve. You don't want to do it God's way. You don't want to do your live your life the way He wants you to. No, do it your way. I'll do it my way. There's quite a difference in attitude between the enemies and His people. His people offer themselves willingly, freely, saying, I love the Lord. The psalmist in 116 says, I love the Lord, for you have heard my voice, you have heard my cry for mercy. I cry unto the Lord. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I am happy to be in the service of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants. He wants willing servants, cheerful givers. You know the word cheerful in the original language, in the Greek language, when it says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in Greek is this, hilaritos. You know what word comes from that? Hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. I love to give. Isn't this what the Lord says? It's more blessed to give than to receive. I love the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. He wants a cheerful servant, a cheerful worker in His kingdom, a cheerful member of the church, a cheerful part of His army. We're in a battle. The word about people just before this text is, He rules in the midst of His enemies. He rules His enemies. They might not want it. They don't want His rule, but they will be ruled whether they like it or not. But how much better it is when you love the Lord and you want to serve Him gladly. And that's what this text is about. That's what really the whole Bible is about. God wants willing servants. Or as in Romans 12, verse 1, present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's not expecting too much. Look how much the Lord gave to us. If He loved us so much, we have a real not only an obligation, but a joy to give back to Him. And on this first day of the new year, the attitude is so important. Our attitude. If we come to church because we got to, if we give because we got to, our heart's not in it. There's a whole difference between a person who does it grudgingly or the person who does it cheerfully. You'd much rather have an employee in your work who is happy to be there, who does it joyfully, rather than one who does it begrudgingly. I'll tell you, in the days of communist Russia, they could tell the difference between people who did their work grudgingly or those who did it willingly. For the farmers in Russia at that time, there were some who had a little bit of land that they could use for their own self, and then there were the collective farms. Do you know which farms produced the most? It was the farms in which the people had freedom to use the land as they wanted to. What is the joy of freedom? What's the joy of freedom is this, that we are not under the control of someone who would whip our backs. No, we do it willingly. We love our country because we have freedom. Why are there so many people who want to get into the United States? Because we have freedom here. We have freedom. And there's such a difference between living under tyranny or living in freedom. We live in freedom. And because we live in freedom, we offer ourselves willingly. That's what this psalmist is talking about. My people, your people, will offer themselves freely. Now this psalm speaks about Jesus Christ in His kingship and in His priesthood. His kingship. Your people will offer themselves willingly on the day of your power. That's the schedule, the day of your power. The day in which Jesus, by means of His glorious power, overcame the power of the evil one. As we saw from 1 John 3, verse 8, the Son of God came into the world to destroy the works of the devil, and He destroyed them, and He brought life and liberty to light through the gospel. And we have freedom. And so we offer ourselves willingly and freely. We live in a free society. What a wonderful blessing freedom is. When you look at a book written by Mrs. von der Heydt. It was about, the title of the book was Candles in the Darkness. And the book Candles in the Darkness was written about people who lived in East Germany during the communist rule. And there were a number of Christians, many Christians, behind the Iron Curtain in those days. And this book is about them, Candles in the Darkness. It's a marvelous book. It's a beautiful book. It was fun to read that book because it showed the desire of God's people for freedom. They would be willing to put themselves in great danger to get freedom. And we have freedom. Why? Because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has won the victory, and He gives us victory through Him. We have victory in Jesus. We have freedom in Him. Your people, therefore, will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. Christ's power over death, over Satan, over the grave, His power over tyranny, His power over darkness. He brought light and life through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in this wonderful new age of Christ's victory, we also share in that victory. We share in that conquest. He is the captain and we're the army. And that's why we sing a song like, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." We are strong in Him. And so Paul says to us in Romans, in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God, and we will have victory." We love to sing that song. Faith is the victory that overcame the world. This is victory. Knowing that Christ is the conqueror. And therefore we offer ourselves willingly to Him on the day of His power. The resurrected, ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sits upon the throne of the universe. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and they that dwell therein. So we offer ourselves freely to Him. Because there's a relationship, a living relationship between Jesus Christ and His people. Your people shall be willing. Your people. You know how Jesus said it in the high priestly prayer? My people, you have given your people to me. God gave us to Him, to Christ. And so we are His people. And His victory, we share. We share that victory. And there has to also be a corresponding holiness in our lives. Our garment, our dress. Your people shall be offer themselves freely in holy garments. The people of God, the children of God, are different. Holiness is the characteristic of God's people. They are holy in Christ. That's what sanctification is. It follows justification. Justification is that by faith, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. It's not of works. It's by faith. It's through grace. And by faith that we receive that. The result of that has to be holiness. Holiness in our thinking. Holiness in our actions. Holiness in our speech. God's people are characterized by holiness. And that's how we have to live. We are a witness in the community. Remember what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That they may see that Christ in us makes a difference. We become better neighbors. We become better citizens. We clean up our language. We live for Him. And we believe without a shadow of a doubt that I am not my own, but I belong unto my faithful Savior. And it has to be reflected in how we live, how we talk, our view of other people, that we love one another, that we have care for our neighbors, that we want to keep our property looking nice, that the relationship with Christ becomes visible in our lives, that it becomes visible in how we deal with our children, how we deal with those who maybe are not so pleasant, that we love our neighbors, that we even love our enemies. Holiness is the characteristic of God's people. That's their dress. Is it successful? Is it successful? Does it pay to be a Christian? Does it pay to love the Lord? Does it pay to be faithful to our wives? Does it make sense to be good? To live right? To do the will of God? To seek to live according to His ways? To live according to the law of God? To love Him above all and love our neighbor as ourselves? Does that all make sense? Does it? Does it make sense that we serve the Lord? Does it make sense that we come to church? Does it make sense that we learn the Bible? Does it make sense that we seek to bring that Bible into a practical application in our lives? Does it make sense? Well, this text says, oh yes, it does. It says, from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. Now, dew is an interesting phenomenon. Dew is really the condensation of water that's in the air. And a certain temperature, that dew, that water that's suspended in the air will come as dew. Very quietly. You don't hear thunder. You don't see lightning in connection with dew. Dew just comes very quietly. But it does a lot of good. Dew is very important. In the book of Genesis, before it began to rain, there was dew over all the earth, and the dew fed the foliage. It fed the earth. Dew is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It's a refreshing thing. Now the psalmist here says, from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The dew of your youth. The success. The joy. The strength which dew gives to us will be our possession. He'll be there for us. The Lord will be there for us no matter through what we have to go. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. We love to sing about it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That is the success we have. The willing workers of God's kingdom, willing to serve the King who has won the victory. But he's also the priest. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What was the work of the priest? Well, the priest sacrificed. And of course, Jesus Christ is the great high priest. He's the only high priest. He is the one who sacrificed himself. He said, I give myself. No one takes my life from me. That's an amazing thing. You see that when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples were with him, except Judas. Judas came with those who were going to arrest him. And so the gang that came into the garden to arrest Jesus with clanging chains and swords and javelins, there they came after Jesus. And Jesus stands up in front of that gang and he says, whom do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. And at those words of Jesus, all that whole gang that came after him, they fell in the dust. Do you know why? Because it wasn't chains that held Jesus. It was his love that held him. He came because he obeyed his Father's will. And he obeyed his Father's will willingly. It was a voluntary giving of himself. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus gave himself willingly? No one takes my life from me, says Jesus. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it back again. This is the command I received from my Father. He's the priest who gave himself on Calvary's cross, was nailed there, pierced by the spear. He gave his life on the cross as the high priest, as the only high priest. But the high priest's work was also intercession. A priest brought the needs of the people before his heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus did. He lives forever to intercede for us. He knows our needs much better than we do ourselves, and he's praying for us. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. He's praying for those who have to have surgery. He's praying for them. He says, my strength is given to you. My strength is given to your doctors. My strength is given to the nurses who assist him. My strength is right there for you. And he prays for us. He prays for all his people. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is a priest, says this text, forever. After the order of Melchizedek, that means Melchizedek was someone to whom Abraham gave his tithes. And it says in the Old Testament that Melchizedek was one without father, without mother, without genealogy. He is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and he prays for us. He prays for us. You want to see how Jesus prays? Look at John 17. That's Jesus' high priestly prayer. And he is so filled with love to his Father. He lays his own needs before his Father's throne. And he lays the needs of his people there. I pray for them. He says in John 17, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. I pray for them, that you watch over them, and that none will perish, but the son of perdition, who is Judas. He prays that you will be preserved. His prayer ever comes before his Father's throne. He liveth always to pray for us, the priest forever. That's why we can serve him willingly. And on this first day of the new year, what an awesome thought that is, that Jesus Christ, who is in control of everything, also loves us. Remember that little poem, that thou shouldst think so well of me, yet be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. And another little poem, we are coming to the King, great petitions therefore bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. He's praying for us. He hears us. He loves us. And he calls us to be willing workers, willing servants. John Calvin mentions this as his theme. My heart I offer to thee, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. That is our theme for this new year. My heart I offer to thee, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. We offer our heart to the Lord. I am not my own. I belong to thee. So I wish every one of you a very blessed new year. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a Savior who's in charge. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. We don't know what's going to be ahead of us. Over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before us roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. But thou art my pilot. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. And he will. And everyone said, our Father in heaven, bless this word unto our hearts. Oh, how wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is the pilot. He's in charge of our lives. And we may offer unto him ourselves freely as willing workers. Oh Lord, thank you that you are our King, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that you are the priest forever who gave yourself willingly on the cross and who ever lives to make intercession for us. Hear us, we pray. Bless us today and this entire year. In Jesus' name, amen.